if you're looking for Jesus directly in the rest of the Ezekiel, you won't find it. It's not like some of the Isaiah or the Psalm. But it talks about so much about God that, and it's end time prophecy. And the end time prophecy is pretty much recorded in where? Which book? Which book? Book of Revelation. And Book of Revelation is about who? Okay, so there you go. There's a connection. All right, we'll start at the third part of Ezekiel. When we started this, I had this grandiose idea. Yeah, we'll go through the one book per night. Right. How little I know. If you are into biblical prophecy, especially end time prophecies, you somehow stumble into Ezekiel 38, 39 as a part of the end time prophecies. Many biblical scholars and students, Bible students like myself and like you guys, consider this section of Ezekiel to rank among the most difficult prophetic message in the scripture for a couple of reasons. Number one reason is identity of the place names. Because names are rarely identical as current name. Second reason is because of timing of the battle. Is this going to happen when? Book of Armageddon war, it is so obvious when it's going to happen. It's going to happen at the end of the, almost at the end of the tribulation. We all know. So is this the same war? No. Some have identified this invasion of Magog with the Battle of Armageddon described in the Book of Revelation chapter 16 and 19. But the contrast between the two events are too obvious that they are not the same battle. Others spiritualize Ezekiel 38, 39 as it's not real actual events. They spiritualize it. It's in the church will face during what church will face during the Great Tribulation time. Of course, they are making two major eschatological misinterpretations. In case what you don't know what the eschatology is, it means end time prophecy. You might hear this, some people using this word and they're twisting it. No, don't fall for it. Number one reason, the church, the body of Jesus Christ will not go through the tribulation period. Yes, I believe in the Bible clearly believes that, state that it's a pre-tribulation. Second reason is the event in chapter 38, 39 of the book of Ezekiel will be an actual event and not spiritualized one. Don't spiritualize it. See, there was a person, somebody brought me the article regarding the feeding 5,000 and as a prophecy. And, you know, I've been in the Lord for 30 years. I've never heard that. I start to read, and the verse came to me from what the Apostle Peter said. Prophecy does not belong to the private interpretation. This guy just went to town with his own interpretation. He was reading between the lines. He was making allegorical approach, and I stopped in the middle. I'm sure somebody will say, how come you don't read the entire story? If you don't read the entire thing, then you cannot really know what he said. Well, I don't have to eat the entire egg to find out it's rotten. All right, let's stop and pray. Father, we are asking you to open our eyes, open our heart, and open our ears to hear what you have for us. As we sang, teach us your way, O Lord. We'll walk in your truth. Give us undivided heart that we may hear you and see you and with a humble heart. Father, it is our desire to honor you and follow you with all of our ways in our lives, that you alone receive glory, you alone receive honor through us. And everything that we do is for your glory alone. Anoint our heart, anoint the one who speaks, and forgive his sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 38, verse 1, please. Now the word of the Lord came to me, that is Ezekiel, saying, "The Son of Man, set your face against Gog, that is the king of Magog." You might want to jot it down, king of Magog. "Of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and the Tubal." If I butcher the pronunciation, go along with me. "Prophesy against him and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. And I will turn you around and put the hook into your jaws." I don't think that's very pleasing. "And lead you out, and with all your army, horse and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company, and a buckler and a shield, all of them handling sword. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya are with them, all of them with a shield and a helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah, from the far north, and all its troop, many people are with you." Stop there, please. Obviously, Gog is the king and ruler of the land of Magog, which is located between Black Sea and Caspian Sea. And many believe that Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal are the region of Magog, the land of Magog. So the coalition force of Magog are quite impressive in human eyes. Magog, the modern-day Russia, and Persia, modern-day Iran. Ethiopia is not the modern-day Ethiopia, rather is modern-day Sudan. Libya, this is one of the few names that we can accept as is, Libya. And Gomer and Togarmah is a modern-day Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. Georgia is not in the south side, southeast of the America. No, that's, yeah. He's old, but not that old. That's why we call him elder, right? Bob? Uh-huh. Too bad. Historically, Persia and Russia did not get along well at all. They were at each other's throat. They had much to grind the axe. But nobody ever thought that they would join force together except the Lord. In 2003, Iran, who wants to expand their nuclear program, of course outside they want to build a nuclear program for the nuclear plant. But in reality, they want to build a nuclear weapon. So they contact Russia with a lot of boatload of money. And Russia didn't say no to the boatload of money, and they became a bosom buddy. And I wouldn't be surprised if Russia and Iran they may have full-blown military exercise together in near future. In addition to Russia and Iran joining their forces together, Russia has been lending their bear paws to Iranian President Bashar al-Assad and his bloodthirsty military, who is practically destroying whole nation to remain in power. Can you imagine this dictator was once a doctor supposed to save other people's lives? Now he's killing his own people and without blinking his own eyes. This is a precursor to the prophesied war of Gog and Magog. I made the map, but I didn't bring. You guys know the location. If this is the map, probably northeast corner would be Russia, and right below is Iran, and next on the left side will be Iraq. In between them is Syria, And right below is Lebanon. Right below Lebanon is Israel. On the east side of Israel will be Jordan. And then there's the Saudi and all the other small Arab countries. Saudi is not small by any means. Somehow, Saudi and Syria, Iraq, and Jordan are not mentioned in coalition force, including Egypt. They stay far away from this force. The one challenging is Iran, that is Persia, Libya, Sudan, and all the small countries, and Russia. I believe that Russia will invade Israel not because I can see and know and what's going on in the current event, because this book says so. Simply said, God that leads, and he's who lead the Magog will invade Israel in right here in this chapter. But that's not the only reason in the current event. Israel has something Russia like to have. They are facing Mediterranean port, Mediterranean Sea, and they have a lot of ports, like Haifa and Joppa, as well as, help me out, there is a seaport start with an H, and the Tel Aviv, Haifa, thank you. And all those seaports are great for Mediterranean Sea. And so far, Mediterranean Sea is pretty much dominated by the American naval fleet. Would you believe Russia only has one aircraft carrier? One. So is China. They just built one. And they like to put their naval fleet in the Mediterranean Sea so they can expand it. If you are in the Mediterranean, you can control Africa. You can control Europe. So that small portion of the sea is very, very important strategically. And that's why Russia want to get in there. They have access to Lebanon. They have access to Syria. But that's not good enough. They want to go all the way down. Another reason, the Israel companies generate about $3 billion annually from the sale of Dead Sea minerals and other products, especially bromine, that produce a fertilizer, and Russia would like to have. If $3 billion is not good enough, how about $240 billion worth natural gas reserve in Israel? And recently, about a year ago, they found an oil reserve in the Golan Heights that is bigger than all the Saudi reserve. Until now, Israel was the only country in Middle East that did not have any oil. Did you get that? They did not have any oil until now. And they believe that they found the biggest stream under the Golan Heights. So, guess what? Mama Bear want that. Some Bible critics says that if this prophecy is real, why in the world is this army carrying sword, shield, riding on a horse? This can be understood easily for a couple of explanations. First explanation, yes, these are not the weapons of a modern army, but Ezekiel was using the language of the dead generation people. He couldn't... Can you imagine Ezekiel tried to tell his people they had a rocket launcher, missiles, and tank, and they would look at him like a deer looking at headlight. He would be a bad, bad communicator. So, to describe the weapon, he had to say shield, helmet, sword, horse. But what if? What if? If this happened during the tribulation time, when the nuclear weapon is used often, it has been said if someone detonates a neutron bomb from 250 miles above Kansas City, which is located in the middle of the United States, This will create enough electromagnetic pulse, and also known as EMP, to wipe out every electronic equipment from this kind of watch, computer, airplane, your car. If you have a 57 Chevy, you're totally cool. Only problem is when you run out of gas, you cannot get gas anymore because the gas pump in the gas station, they're depending on the electronic computer. You cannot have a water. You cannot have a power because everything is depending on the computer. It means that no one can contact you unless a person uses a smoke signal. Probably it will be rainy day anyway. If this battle that is mentioned in Ezekiel 38:39 happens during the 7-year Great Tribulation, there will be so much destruction, the loss of civilization around the world, that mankind have to use ancient style weapons, as well as pretty much modern day infantry weapons, until they run out of ammo. When they run out of ammo, they can use their weapon as a club, or go back to sword. Some of you guys know that I teach knife fighting. I know it's a little bit obnoxious thing for the pastors to do. I tell my student, you may run out of ammo if you use guns. If you use knife, you never run out of ammo. As long as you're alive, you can continuously use it. By the way, in 2010, how many of you guys know the treaty called the Nuclear Non-Proliferation? Proliferation, thank you. NPT, known as NPT. They put this on Middle East. They said full implement of that program in the nuclear-free Middle East zone. You know, if you are naive, if you don't know much about it, if you are just regular liberal who is following the liberal media, it sounds great. No nuclear weapons in the Middle East, fine and dandy. There won't be any nuclear wars. It's a problem. Because, did you hear the latest story about the Iranian deal that Obama brokered? They pretty much did not do anything against Iran. They exempt Iran from being sanctioned by this NPT treaty. In other words, they can do whatever they want to do. They can build a nuclear weapon without getting yelled at. And they can enrich the uranium without getting sanctioned by UN. So UN will not do anything against Iran, but they want Israel not to have any nuclear weapon. Since 1960s, it's kind of one of those things that Richard Nixon told them, don't say, we won't ask, don't tell. It's known as strategic ambiguity. They are the only country, Israel is the only nation in the entire Middle East. As a matter of fact, anything below Europe, that's the only country that has nuclear weapon. How many? American intelligence think that between 150 to 200 warheads. Do they have a missiles that they can put it in the missile and launch it up? Go drop it in the Iran? Yeah, easily. Do they have a capability to attach it on the airplane and go over there and drop it? Yes, not a problem. And somebody said that the distance is too far for the fighter jet to fly. Do you think they don't have a refuel tanker in the middle of the air? Come on, this is the Israelis. They also have a Tomahawk missiles. And our friend from Raytheon, former Raytheon guy, would tell you the Tomahawk can carry nuclear warhead without any problem. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to strip Israel's defensive weapon. Nobody worried that Israel will attack their neighbors and annihilate them with their nuclear weapon. They don't broadcast what they want to do every day or every week like Iran does. So, but what does Iran do? Big devil, big Satan and small, little Satan. Big Satan is, who is that? United States. Little Satan is, who is that? Israel. Nice people, aren't they? Okay, go to verse 7 of chapter 38, please. Prepare yourself and be ready, and you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be invited. In the latter years, you will come into the land those who brought back from the sword and gathered from the many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolated. They were brought out of the nations. Now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many people with you, thus says the Lord God. On that day it shall come to pass that the thoughts will arise in your mind. You will make an evil plan. Verse 11, you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. What does it mean? Israel was defenseless at this time. For whatever reason, they are not expecting attack. I will go to the peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a plunder and to take a booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired the livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba, Dedan, and merchant of the Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take a booty, to carry away silver and gold, and to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? By the way, in verse 13, some Bible students said, this young lion is America. It's not. That's a far stretch. That's a far stretch. So if somebody tells you this is the prophecy we talk regarding the America, it's not. I know what you're thinking. You've been wondering, okay, preacher, when is this Ezekiel 38:39 is going to happen? I don't know. That's my answer. Because it can happen before the rapture or during the Great Tribulation. If you insist, if I have to choose one, most, in my opinion, most likely it will be great during the Great Tribulation. I don't mind being wrong, because it's not something that I'm going to split the hair over this one. Many biblical scholars believe that Antichrist is currently living in Europe and already positioning himself to be the next leader. And he's the kind of guy with a slick diplomatic capability. He can put the square peg into round hole without any problem, and people think that he is wonderful. He's not some kind of guy with the horns coming out from his forehead and with the beady eyes and with the ugly voice, but he's the kind of guy with a charisma, will charm people. Did you notice that no country will come to aid of Israel? When UN decided to NPT in 2010, not a one country stopped them. And Netanyahu, this year came to the United States and he stopped in UN. And he asked questions to the oldest diplomat and UN ambassadors in General Assembly. He asked them, who, and if there's any one of you who stood up for Israel, please raise your hand. Not a one single person raised their hand. He stood there and staring at the people to the point I was embarrassed for him. He stood there about 2 or 3 minutes just looking at people. And guess what the people did? Literally, despising Israel. Nobody come to their aid. If the Iranian and the Russian complete the, let me backtrack. If, God forbid, if the Hillary Clinton become the next president of the United States, she will not stand up for Israel. She will let her be destroyed by anyone and everyone. She could, even though American Jews support her financially, she will go against Israel. I don't know why any Jews would support, I don't know, it goes way back. Why they would support a Democrat is a mind-boggling question many times. All right, judgment on Gog, verse 18 and 38. By the way, how many of you guys was following me with all of this, with your head knowledge of, did you know everything that I've been talking about? Or is there something that you didn't know before? Pay attention to the current event. Look at it from the world point of view, biblical point of view. Verse 18. And it will come to pass at the same time, and when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, then my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the bird of the heaven, and beast of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountain shall be thrown down, and the steep place shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with a pestilence. What's a pestilence? Plague. Disease. Yeah, fast spreading disease and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on many people who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. By the way, Book of Revelation talk about the hailstones, yeah, size of 75-pound balls. Can you imagine the velocity coming down from heaven? Even the tank will be crushed by a simple velocity. Thus I will magnify, verse 23, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. It doesn't matter what kinds of decision will be made in the war room of Magog. But if it only will confirm to the will of God who planned this invasion before the creation of the universe for his own purpose. Remember Emperor Titus decided, well, I'm going to do the taxation. Before I do the taxation, I'm going to do the censors. Everybody had to go back to their own birthplace 2,000 years ago. So Joseph and Mary had to go back to where? Bethlehem, because they were descendants of King David. And where was Jesus was born? Bethlehem, just as the prophecy was prophesied. Okay, go to the Proverbs chapter 21, please. Proverbs 21, verse 1. I know President Obama does, he thinks that he does whatever he wants to do because he's the king of the United States. He's only doing what God has allowed him to do. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. I'm sure that in the mind of Gog and the coalition force leaders, the victory is a pretty much done deal as they left toward Israel. They knew this little sliver of land is down and they can just pick it up and conquer it. Because they have such a big force and Israel would be all done if the Hillary Clinton is joined there. Probably she won't say anything. But before the Gog coalition force will start to destroy Israel, the Lord will intervene in his wrath and faithfulness to protect his own people, Israel. Remember Genesis chapter 12? I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. Do you think he meant to just say nice things to Abraham for that time? No, he meant it. And he's coming with a divine arsenal that no human military can fight against: earthquake, plague, pestilence, flood, rain, great hailstone, fire and brimstone, and it comes from the sky. You know, it doesn't matter how many people you have. Once the earthquake starts, nobody can stand. I like the way Chuck Swindoll, who used to live in California, Richter scale 4 or 5 didn't even wake up in the morning. They go back to sleep because it's normal. He said when it's 7 or 8, the ground they're standing on is not so sure. We have a Californian over there, Joe. Is that true? Everything shakes. Huh? Yeah. You're from the California. Okay, we'll stay in Arizona. If the divine arsenal is not bad enough, God put the panic in this soldier's heart. They're starting to kill each other. And there will be so many dead bodies according to chapter 39. It took 7 months for them to bury all the dead bodies. And of course the wild animals are having their fields. Alright, go to chapter 39. Ezekiel 39 verse 6, please. Then I will send a fire on Magog, that is Russia, on those who live in the security in the coastland. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nation shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Stop there for a minute. He said he will send a fire on Magog, Russia. Just for a side note, do you know that by year 2000, somebody said 2020, 20% of Russian drafted soldiers will be Muslim. 20%. That means they are the most advanced, technologically advanced military in the world. Why would they stay with Russia? Why wouldn't they go with the Muslim countries? And it is no wonder when you look at the whole situation, it is no wonder why the Russia and Iran will be buddy-buddy. And they are already. It will only get deeper. Alright, verse 8. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons and both shield and bucklers and bows and arrows and javelins and spears. They will make a fire with them for 7 years. And this, and they will not take wood from the field nor cut down any from the forest, because they will make a fire with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plunder them and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord God. Instead of slaughtering the Jews, God's soldier will themselves be slaughtered and become a food for the vultures and beasts of the field. The Lord will not stop there, but he will attack. His judgment will be against their land. So much for the great force of Russia and its allies. And there will not be anymore. I find the two reasons for the Lord to bring the Gog's coalition force to Israel and defeating them so dramatically. Number one, the victory will reveal the greatness of the Lord, as he will display his power before all nations. Back to 38 verse 23, please. Back to 38 verse 23. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. There won't be any doubt that all this heathen nation realize that, wow, this is the God of Israel. There's no evidence that the Israeli Defense Forces did anything. It is our God who fought against this coalition force. Second reason, the victory will reveal the holiness of the Lord to Israel and be convicted of their own sin. In chapter 36, you guys know this, in chapter 36, the Jews profaned the name of the Lord, and while they were dispersed all over the world before, the Lord brought them back, gathered them back to their own land. They still are not followers of their God. And you may say, well, they are Orthodox Jews. Actually, in Israel, Orthodox Jews are the minorities. Majority of the population of Israeli people are very, very liberal. And that's the reason why they hand over the West Bank and Gaza to the Arab nations. They try to appease those Arab nations, thinking that they think that they will get the peace. Remember when Judah was invaded by Syria? What did some of the kings do? They gathered up the treasures and took it to Assyria, the king of Assyria. Let's make a peace. How long did that last? West Bank was given to Arab nations. No, not Arab nations, the PLO. And Gaza was happened. And Hamas. What happened? They became a base for the terrorists. They try to do it with their own strength instead of depending on God. Don't we do the same thing? They are not still the follower of their God. However, they will start to realize that the Lord is real and their protector and the Holy One of Israel. Three applications. Number one, we don't need to fear anything or anyone because we are his children. He will not be defeated.